Blog Talk Radio.
A hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us so.
Redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
God, I just want to speak in concern of the word that we're about to bring forth today, as we have the woman of God to open us up with a double patent prayer. As this prayer is finished, Father God, I thank you right now for every opportunity that you give us, the opportunity to come before your throne, to declare the word, to decree the word, to speak it according to the purpose and the power of the Spirit. For that everything that we speak, Lord, let us speak with the words of Elijah, the fire, the God who answers by fire in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we decree a plan according to the Spirit that even as we go forth, no weapon can be formed, shall be formed. We decree, we declare, we declare, we decree. We speak according to the purpose and the power of the Spirit, knowing that you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, these things I'm asking not of ourselves, but in the name of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to be on this line tonight. And Father God, we just ask you, Father God, as a woman of God, bring forth the prayer, Lord, let the ears begin to ring with the word that's about to come forth, that it be hearing, that it be knowledge to their spirit, to keep them in the realm of prayer, to let them know and understand through you, Father God, everything and all things are possible. Father God, it's not these things of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, we decree it, we declare it right now in the name of Jesus. First of all, I want to open up and thank each and every one of you for being on the line tonight. I am Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church with my beautiful co-pastor, Pastor Patty Ellis, along with my beautiful young daughter who holds you. Most of you have probably seen some of the video recordings that we got ready to put out and that's going on around the YouTube area and some other areas of the internet map, as I say. But those of you going to be coming on the line tonight, you can call in to the studio and be a part of the show. And the number is 347-637-1074. For those of you coming in by the internet, I want you to know you can go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. And when you go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, you want to go to schedules and services. As you go to schedules and services, you want to go down midway in the page. And then midway in the page, you're going to see an icon. That icon is going to tell you Power of the Harvest Blog Talk Radio, or just Power of the Harvest. Click on that. That'll bring you to the internet phase of the radio station. We've got an interesting word tonight. We've been dealing with the book of Ephesians, how we need to pray in all types of prayer. It's not my apologies, but the apologies of the kingdom of God that he's living to me to give you more information through the week. But God has got me doing other projects where it limits our actual teachings down to one day a week, which we think is fine. But Sunday is always great for us. It's always a good time for us, but we believe that we wish you can be right here with us. For those of you calling across the distant states in a distant area, we're going to be having what we call a national meeting probably every month for those who are going to come around from different areas, the cities you're from. We have different pastors, different men and women of God who's going to be joining us in this particular meeting that we're going to have every month. And it's kind of like a gathering, kind of gathering of the saints, those who come in from different areas. You have read the book of Acts chapter 4, it talks about how the men of God was in prison during the course of the time that these men had laid hands on them. And after they laid hands on them and imprisoned them, they still yet heard the word. They said the church came to be about 5,000. They said it was called a church of the way. They said it went to God's different areas, different houses, preaching the gospel. And the church just began to explode, just began to grow. And I just thank God for you guys being on tonight. We're not going to delay the time. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. And we're going to open up our prayer service tonight with our long-term friend and prayer partner, one of our first members, one of our very first members when we started our church some years ago. And she was one of the, she was our, matter of fact, her kids was some of our little bridesmaids in our wedding. And we thank this woman, God, for catching back up with us. We have been out of contact with her for a while, but I tell you, God is faithful. And we're going to have her to open up with prayer on tonight. And we're going to hear what the word has to say as she finished this prayer. Amen. Sister Gina Christian, you're on the air.
Thank you, my pastor and first lady. Thank you. God bless you. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for such a glorious day that you've provided for us and you've blessed us with to even receive your word. I ask you, dear Father, that you touch these pastors that you have called forth into your word to speak your truth unto this dark world, to bring a shining light that will never go out. I ask you to edify their hearts and their minds and to bring us into understanding, opening our spiritual ears and our spiritual hearts to receive the word that you have for us to hear tonight, Father God. I ask this and I pray this with an open heart and an open mind to everybody out there listening, hearing the word of God. In our mighty Savior and Redeemer, Christ Jesus' name, I ask this as the earth is your footstool and heaven is your throne. In our mighty Redeemer's name, Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen, woman God. God bless you, God. We appreciate your prayer. You're always in our heart. We still have your pictures and everything from our wedding, so don't forget about us. That for us.
Oh, no, sir.
Amen. We want to go ahead and get started. We want to be in the book of Ephesians. I'm in chapter 6. Those of you who were with us on last week during the course of the study, and knowing we've been going through this powerful area of prayer and how we have to deal with the area of now we live in a time that the only way we can get the word to the kingdom of God is we allow him to interfere in our affairs, whatever affairs you may be, whatever you may be dealing with. Whatever you may be linked into, maybe be going through, maybe whether things you're dealing with, you can't get a hold, you can't get it off you, it's stuck on you. But the word of God decrees about the fervency of a prayer. The man of God speaks over in the book of Luke, talks about, you hear me talk about the man who prayed with importunity, consistency. When it seems like something's in your life, it seems like you didn't pray enough, but it seems like that thing is yet still there. God has given the word, the instruction to shake off that, whatever it may be, that's holding you bound, the pins, that you got the power to break every demonic porthole in the name of Jesus, whatever that thing is trying to come in through, whatever that demon is trying to approach through, whether you're doing anger, whether you're doing malice, whether you're doing homosexuality, whether you're doing self-indulgence, things that continue to move you opposite of what the word of God has decreed and declared. We don't understand one thing, and that's what I'm going to tell you. God sees everything. He's an all-knowing God. He's an omnipotent. He's an omnipresent God. He sees all. He knows all. So you can't hide anything from him. And one thing we understand that you can't hide from the kingdom, and you got to stand before the throne of God. But God said the way we get rid of these things through his son, Jesus Christ, is to pray the prayer that Apostle Paul began to give a demonstration about even in prison that he yet prayed. We hear the strong story about Paul and Silas. How they begin to pray, and it's a process of being to pray, you know, the jails begin to shake, the bars begin to loose, and the very prison guard that imprisoned them, they were saved. This is a powerful statement when you look at the revelation of it. It gives you so much understanding about how God can bring you out of any imprisonment problem that you're in. They don't care what you're dealing with. But it first gives a very typical example of how we should be as men and women of God, first of all. And it deals with the opportunity of the commandments. And it opens up in the first part of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now it says, in the Lord, for it is right. Say, honor your father and your mother. Now he said, which is the first commandment, which is a promise. Now when you understand the first promise, then everything else leads on to you. It's kind of like when you're coming into salvation. The word of God declares in the decree over the Romans. It says in 10:8-9, how the confession of your mouth leads you into salvation. Now that you come into salvation, the enemy is going to come at you with everything he has. But God said, as long as you're walking upright, that's Psalms 84:11. If I walk upright, no good thing will God hold for me. When I'm struggling, no good thing will God hold for me. But God put your parents down as being what? Ministers, masters of the kingdom. They may obey him. They may train you in the area that you need to be trained up in. He goes on over in the third verse. He said, they may be well with thee, and thou may live a long life on earth. Now, God promised us 70 years. That's plus the promises in God. Some people live 90 plus. You know, God is saying through your years of obedience, I've added years to your life. He goes on in verse 4, and he says that, he's saying, your fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in what? Mature, or the nature of admonishment, or adored of the Lord. In other words, teach them. Train the child up in the way they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from the path. But it's amazing when you look at that particular scripture, that particular part of the scripture, the first verse, when you look at the Amplified version, you say, Father, do not irritate. Notice what he says, irritate and provoke the children to anger. The Amplifier says, do not aspirate. In other words, don't antagonize them and aspirate them to resentment. In other words, don't do things the way they grew up and they dislike you or hate you. In other words, the Bible says, spare the rod, spare the child. In other words, let child know that you've done all what you need to do to raise them up. They're going to remember. We talk about those things all the time, and I found how we used to get whoopings. But it wasn't thing that our father and mother did us out of dishonor or disrespect or to the point that they tried to harm us anyway, but bring us aright. It goes on the Amplified version in the fourth verse of Ephesians 6 and 4. It says, berear them tenderly. In other words, you know, berear them tenderly. That word berear them tenderly, meaning that train them, do the things that you're going to, if you're going to spank them and show them what you've done it for. If you're going to do something to show them what happened, don't just don't do it out of your own anger or just get mad. And some children and some parents are just angry. They just hit their kids for no apparent reason. It's in training and disciple and counsel and moderation of the Lord or maturity or endorsement of the Lord. Endure them. It's amazing when you think about that, because some things you can do to a child, you can cause them to be scarred in ways they can look back over your life and they can see when the mother don't protect them or the father don't protect them, but yet always provoking against them. You hear stories about how young men and young women get out there and they begin to get caught up in situations where the parents dealing with wild crowds or the father's dealing with wild crowds, and somehow the daughter's got to a certain age and then you find a friend, the father's friend messing with his daughters, or you find the daughter, the wife, or the mother's boyfriend who she brought in started messing with the daughter. In other words, they didn't protect them. They wasn't wise in their decisions. And kids seem to rememorize those things because they'd be so scarred at childhood. And they remember those things they grew up and they begin to bring a severe hate against their parents because they feel that their parents should have protected them more other than telling them, go somewhere and sit down, or be quiet, or hush, or don't say nothing, don't do this, don't do that, other than tell them what they're doing it for. You got to be able to show the children and what you're doing to them in a way that you'll help them. But it goes on in the fifth verse. It says servants and slaves. Now, this is very popular here. This is very commended here. Now, we as men and women of God, we got our parents, but our parents are our masters while we're here on earth. But they got the senior master, which is the kingdom of God. He looks over them, gives them direction. As they admonish God, they admonish the way to raise us up. It says servants, slaves, be obedient to those who are physical masters, in other words, our jobs. Our parents teach us to work hard. The Bible does declare and decree that's a work term. A man don't work, he don't eat. Am I talking to anybody? Have respect for them in eager concern. Please them in singleness, in motives, and with all your heart serve to Christ himself. In other words, you as a man or woman of God, when you go to the job, it seems like somebody's not treating you right, somebody's not doing you right, it seems like things are going bad. Look, do your service unto the Lord. The word of God does declare and decree over in Psalms 84 and 39 that he said his ultimate, his covenants, he will not revoke. He will not turn his covenants back. If God puts you on a job or God puts you in a position, no matter what supervisor you may be under, because let me tell you something. If a supervisor, he may give you a paycheck, but he's not designed to feel, he's not over your increase. Am I speaking to anybody? That when you understand that when your supervisor, employee, or somebody at your job is treating you so bad or trying to get you fired, you need to do like your mom said, no, Lord, I'm finna go up in this room and I'm finna pray because I don't know what's going to happen. But I believe that you're on my side. I believe you brought me here for this particular reason. And I know you're not going to release me. And if it does come down to a release of me being released, Father God, I got the power of the word to declare and decree to call things to be not what they were. Lord, this is what I serve you with. This is why it's so important to pay your tithes. And God protects you as your income comes in. You begin to know how to pay tithes and offering to the house of God, not to the point that you feel that it shouldn't go there, because once a tithe leaves your hand, it's not your responsibility. You do it unto the Lord, and you do what the Lord is telling you. Then God protects your income. He said he protects your increase of the things you need to have in your life. So many people are so greedy for money. You know, they want more material things. They get their paycheck, and the first thing they think about is materialistical stuff, whether they're thinking about God. And after a while, here comes the scoffer. Here comes the wolf. He comes, snatches everything around. The word declares and decrees over his book of Proverbs. He said, how God will put holes in your pocket. Now, we'll get to that later on and tell you about that scripture. We're going to move on. How he put holes in your pocket. In other words, what he does, that it seems like when you got your paycheck and all of it seems to be gone, you know, where it went so fast, then you need to understand you didn't bring your first honor to God. Matter of fact, when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, and you can probably flip over there for those of you who want to flip those, you can. Over the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about the possible increase. It talks about the increase. As a matter of fact, let's leave the book of Ephesians for here a second, and let's go over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And I want to show you something here in the 1 Corinthians. But this is so vital in the kingdom of God, how you pay your honors to God. You know, when you pay your monies to God, your earnings, your first earnings. And I want to get over here and I want to show you something here. And we flip the page here. It says over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Go back to 16. Let's look at this real close. And let's kind of magnify on this a little bit. And Paul brings a very strong word to the Corinthians by honoring God with their tithes and offering. He said, now concerning the collections of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered. Now that's what it says. Now I'm gonna break that down to you. Upon the first day of the week, when the eagle fly on Friday, the paycheck come in your hand, that's your prosperity. That's what God enabled you to get the strength of you to make whatever increase you may have. Somebody out of the house of God asked me, what's that, Pastor? Do we pay taxes? Well, that's the same thing the Lord told Peter. You know, and Peter told the Lord, Lord, do we pay taxes? The Lord said, go down there and throw the pole in the water. And the first coin you see to come out, the first fish you catch, take the coin out of the fish's mouth. And you pay all of our taxes. But in this particular case, the Lord is saying that you pay taxes to the kingdom. The kingdom is designed for you to pay taxes that the ministry may continue to what? Reach out. It's not, you're not worried about where the money was going. When you got people in the church and got that demonic spirit on them, well, I don't think I should pay tithes here. I don't think I should. That ain't your concern. Your job is when you drop the ground, and there's so many things that's going on in the body of Christ with the process of tithing. You're tied with your heart. When you're tied with your heart, you understand that when you're tied, the increase has already come. If you tied your tithe, and this is how one thing that people get you to tithe, and you don't know what kind of ground, this is the word that you're saying, you want to tie in the good ground, you want to sow in the good soil. Well, my heart's been sold, and one thing about it, once it comes out of my hand, if you do wrong with it, then it ain't on me, it's on you. In other words, if I tell you don't go over there and you go over there anyway, guess what? It's your problem if it's bad. But if you sow it in the kingdom of God and with the heart of fervency, to know that when you sowed it with a cheerful heart, be a cheerful giver. And if that man of God or woman of God that go over that ministry do wrong with it, guess what? The condemnation comes back on them. Look, you release it out of your hand because you don't want the enemy to come against you from holding up. Once you close your hand and don't open your hand up to God, guess what? God closes his hand to you. Not in this way, not in the way he's envy like us. But God began to plug up the kingdom to a point that all the things inherited you have, he begins to slow it down and you come and understand. Unless you open your hand to God, God will know by noon, open his hands to you. You got to let go of what's in your hand. If God has given you the strength, you're sucking his air, and you know that he gives you the strength to get up every morning, God gave you increase, whether a person is working, whether your person is handicapped, whether your person is lame in your body. Matter of fact, the word of God decrees over in the book of Matthew, when a woman came, and she was lame in her back, and she gave the two mites. But all the disciples and all the Pharisees and the Sadducees gave out of their abundance. But she only had two mites. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? And what's pertaining to this chapter in Ephesians 6? I'm telling you just what I'm telling you. He says in the 6th verse, in the Amplified Version, not in the way of eye service. In other words, you go back to the 5th verse before we get there in the Amplified Version, because this breaks it down a little bit more, makes it a little bit more clear for you. He says, servant slave, and it's in graphic, it's in parentheses in the Amplified Version. It says, servant slaves, be obedient to those who are physical masters, having respect them, and eager concern, pleasing them. And singleness in motives in all your heart. In other words, your motivation, everything you do not unto them, but you do unto the Lord. It may seem like they're trying to enslave you. It may seem like they're getting over you. But see, God knows your limitations. And when you get that check on Friday, you get that check wherever you may receive it, and you know you done labored, and you know you went through pain, you went through the doc, and that Social Security check, wherever day it comes, wherever it may fall upon you, your job is to understand the increase did not come from the government. It came from the kingdom of God because he saw what you were doing when you got it. A lot of people here a while back was cut off of Social Security. I remember they shut the Social Security office down, and some people wasn't getting Social Security, but through the grace of God, I heard people were still getting Social Security. I know some people were still getting their Social Security checks because they knew how to tithe, and God opened a way for them that it had almost like a patent on them. Whatever kind of governmental breakdown it was, it's almost like they had some kind of armor around them. They were still getting their checks until that thing came in. Until they release that, whatever it was. And what I'm saying to you is, man and woman, God, when your increase comes in, now we're going to be doing some teaching on giving. Because most people, the reason you don't have increase in your life because you don't know how to open up your hand. The reason you don't have blessings in your life because you don't know how to open up your hand. And the word of God declares and decrees right over here in the book of Corinthians. He tells the Corinthians, and now we read again, now concerning the collections of the saints. I have given order to the church of Galatia. Even so do ye, should you also bear the image in your heavenly Father. Now, what is he saying? Look what he's telling them now. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay beside him in store as God has prospered. The word prospered. He gave you the strength.
I don't want to get too far off the study here, but this thing about tithing and giving is a backbreaker for the ones who are suffering in lack. And I'm telling you, learn how to give. I'm telling you, you'll break the bank. You can tithe your way out of poverty in the name of Jesus. If you quit getting so hard-hearted about what's coming out of your head, what's going, what they're doing with the money, don't you worry about that. You do it unto God. He said, as you prosper him, he says, you'll be gathered when I come. And when I come, whenever you shall approve by your letter, then I will stand and to bring your liberty into Jerusalem. In other words, he said, these people over here in Corinth gave liberally. So when I came into Jerusalem, even though it was staggering there, I didn't want for nothing because the Corinthians gave. And so when I came to that particular city, I didn't have to worry about lodging. I didn't have to worry about eating. I didn't have to worry about carrying the gospel for to reach somebody who's out there struggling and going through in their life because there were people who gave liberally out of their heart, the knowing that the gospel must go on. Ladies and gentlemen, we kind of off course on this one, but I want you to understand that God has given a promise according to the kingdom of God. When you want to open up your hand, God will by no means close his. But he goes on over here in the book of Corinthians, and he talks about the book of Ephesians 6, I'm sorry. Got kind of caught up on that Corinthians thing. Better kind of move off. That's another good study that we're going to study, but we're going to let you know about that here in the next couple of weeks. We want to close this study out right now, but I had to get over there and give you some information about concerning this particular study because it's so powerful. But we go down here in the King James Version. He says over here in the 7th verse, he said, with good will, doing service as to God or to the Lord and not to man. In other words, when you work, you don't work for man. You work for God. He's giving you the strength. Just like I said before, man is not entitled for your increase. They may be over your check, but they don't give your increase. You may be a person making $9 to $10 an hour. You don't know how your income is coming up and God's still sustaining you because it was the Lord. Whether you're looking at paying the government, you took care of God. I remember my mother used to always take our tithes and offering out. I remember we used to always complain about it. I can still remember this as a child when I didn't understand how my mother used to take $5 or $15 or $20 and something that seemed like it wasn't no food in the refrigerator. I'm talking about you would come home from practice or baseball practice or basketball practice and you would look in the refrigerator and it seemed like nothing but a light bulb in the refrigerator. But somehow, mama had some money, but she always saved that tithe. She would stick it down in a brassiere and she would hold that money there. She would never let that money go. And God continued to sustain my mother. He sustained her in such a way that even when we had heat in the house, we had food on the table, we had clothes on our back. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? When it seemed like with nothing coming in, God still sustained it because she knew how to let go in our hand what God needed for us in the kingdom, needed from her in the kingdom. He says in the 8th verse, knowing that whosoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Listen to what he's saying. Whether he be bond or whether he be free. Listen, I mean, that's a really tough subject right there. You know, when you do things unto the Lord, whether you live in the life of sin or you live in the life of Christ. In other words, bondmen know how to do service to the Lord. You got more people, and this is a really good example when you think about this. There are more people outside the church that help you more than people in the church. Did I say something? Oh, yes, I did. There's more people outside the body of Christ will help you that's in the body of Christ. There are more people in the body of Christ will cut your head off quicker than people outside the body of Christ cut your head off. So the word says whether bond or free, if anybody doing right, whether you're a woman of God in the church or a man of God in the church or you're a man of God outside the church. Now, I'm not giving anybody no liberty to just stop going to church because the Bible does declare and decree don't forsake the assembly. Now, the word of God does decree over in Psalms 133 that we all need to come together in unity. Now, this is not giving you a free pass that I ain't got to go to church and serve the Lord. No, you need to come together and sharpen the iron and get your skills together so when you go out, you understand how to give freely, in a freely way, but not in a bounded way. In other words, sometimes people who drink, I've seen guys who drink and live all kinds of type of life, but they got hearts like gold. I mean, they give to the ministry. I ask them to give something to our church, and we got a function going on. They give out there. Man, they open their wallets up. Here, Pastor, what y'all need? Here, Pastor, because they give. They know God has sustained them. They know it's a matter of time for God to come get them and hang out with them and teach them where he needs to live to the kingdom of God because they actually have what we call a fear for the Lord. Because they know they don't play with God. That's why they don't go in churches sometimes. Because they know there's more people in the church playing games. And they don't want to get into the game thing. So they got a fear. They would say, I'd rather stay out of that because I don't want to get up and play with nobody because I'm going to do this thing. I want to do it right. That's why we call evangelism. That's what you got to understand. When you go out and you train somebody up in the body of Christ, you train somebody up in the Word, you want to train them the right way. The Word of God decrees and declares, he said, there are many sons but no fathers. There are people out there just peddling the ministry for the money. And they're not really to save the souls. And so many things that happen in the church with these illegitimate ministries that's going on that call themselves mega ministers, whatever it may be, all they do is ask you for money all day long. Now, I'm not getting down on anybody because it takes money to run the church. But at the same time, your soul has got to be free from the redemption and the redeemings of the devil. In other words, you got to really understand and realize that when Christ comes into your life, you got to be trained in order to walk the right way. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Once you get introduced to the Word of God and you come into the kingdom of God, and then people do you the same way in the church as they've done you in the world, then they're going to go back to the world. But yet they still got a fear for God. But you have called that person not to even step back foot in the church. And some people got some kind of way they want to riddle around that and make it sound good. But you got to understand one thing. You can't go around hurting people if you say you're a man or woman of God. No, the hurt people hurt people. You got to be free from the hurt in your life. You got to be free from the pain in your life. If you continue to worry about what somebody else is doing, not worry what you're doing, that's another problem in the body of Christ as well. I don't want to get too far offhand, but you got to start worrying about what somebody else is doing, and you got to work out your own soul to salvation. You're getting all tempered up and messed up about something somebody else doing and saying, if you get your life right, then maybe you get somebody else right. That's the problem. Quit worrying about what somebody else is doing and get yourself together. When you get you together, the Word of God says, first let a man examine himself, and then if you see something wrong, then may you correct him in a loving and kind way, and not abrupt speech and all out of hand. You know, kind of just ignorant and stuff. I hate to say the word like that. Sometimes you just get diluted out of your mind and start talking any kind of way. There's men of God in the body of Christ, people don't even give them reverence. You know, hey, man, no, I'm overseer to you as of right now. I'm not making myself be more high than anybody. My dress from the kingdom of God is Pastor Charles Ellis. If you don't think you can address me in that matter, maybe this is not maybe the church you need to go to. And maybe it's not maybe the church you need to be around. Because I don't go by, hey, man, especially when I'm an overseer of your soul. And if you can't get that respect right with yourself, then you keep on putting your mouth on it. Then God will deal with you the way he needs to deal with you. But first of all, you need to understand, you need to come to understand and realize that God is your overseer. And once he puts you in the position as being a sheep under that shepherd, you need to be obedient. If you don't think you can be obedient to that shepherd, that house, then you need to move on and go somewhere else. Because you'll end up hurting yourself. If you come under the authority, you come under the buckiness of that man of God, that house. In other words, the Word of God declares over in Psalms 21, Proverbs 21, he said, I turn the heart of a king as I see fit. In other words, if that man God put in position is doing wrong, then God's going to deal with him. He's going to deal with him way more than the world deals with him. So your job is to be able to understand, to keep your mouth off of things that you don't know anything about and what God's calling is. If you can't understand it, maybe you need to go and cut up in your own corner, do your own ministry, and then you understand how it's going on. Then you won't get too far on that anyway if you're in that call. The Word of God does declare someone's called and something just went. And some people just don't want to come to the obedience of Christ. But the Word of God is talking really about, in this particular chapter, about the principles in verse 9. He said, you masters, he says, over in the 9th verse, you masters, act on the same principles toward them and give up what? Treating and using violent abuse words, you know, a spicy language, knowing that he will what? That he who is both their masters and yours in heaven, and that there is respect of person. No respect of person. In other words, no partiality with him. That's what it says in the King James Version here. He says, and you masters, do the same thing unto them. In other words, he told you how you should do in the 8th verse. Now he's telling what the masters who are over you, what they should do in the 9th verse. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, for bearing, treating, knowing that your master's also in heaven, neither is there a what? Respect of person with him. And he says over in the 10th verse, he gets into the nitty-gritty of this thing, when he really breaks it down. This is how it all talks about. The first principles of this particular epistle deals with children being obedient to their parents. And then talking about servants being obedient to their actual masters, who in rulership over them, who had the ability to sign your paycheck or tell you to keep their income coming. Because the Word of God does declare the blessings are laid up in the hands of the wicked. In other words, when you be able to overcome those who are in the position of being wicked with your kindness and being a light and show them how you walk rather than complaining and bickering and opening your mouth all the time, sometimes you just need to shut up and just thank God that you got a job. Thank God that he's blessing you, whatever way he's blessing you. Quit complaining all the time about stuff. And then you wonder why things are all jacked up in your life. Seems like the light come on, then the light go off. Seems like you get a blessing here, then they cut the blessing off. Because why? You keep opening your mouth. Rather than giving God praise, quit letting filthy, lucre language come out of your mouth. And Lord, pray to God and thank him for what you are getting, that he enables you to have the success in your life that you have right now. You may not be even working on the job, and God may be still providing income for you to have a place to stay, a place to live. And you got to be thankful for that. Get down on your knees every morning and thank God. Quit bickering and quit complaining. In other words, the word God does declare, and he speaks it very clearly. He talks about the masters. And then he gets to that point, he tells you over in the 10th verse, he gets to the nitty-gritty about all this, he gets down to the nitty-gritty. He said, find my brother, be strong in the Lord. Out of all of this that's happening, that's dealing with the area of obedience to your parents, over those who are rulership over you, your pastors, your leaders, your job members, your job supervisors. In other words, because the battle is really not yours. The battle is really not yours. Before we get over to the Ephesians 6:10, and we get into the really battle of the prayer, I want to show you something, how the power of God works. And you understand that you need to just really be quiet and stop complaining and ask God to help you, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever proclivity, whatever subvert, whatever individual, whatever wedge, whatever orange cone is in your life. Am I talking to anybody? The word of God declares over, and I use this such a, all, this is such a prophetic scripture, I use it all the time, over in the book of Chronicles. It talks about when those came against Jehoshaphat. And when they came against Jehoshaphat said one prophetic thing out of his mouth, and it's in the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles 20:20-6. He said on this in 2 Chronicles 20:6, he said, O God, O Lord, God of our fathers, I vow the God in heaven. Look, he's making a proclamation. In other words, he's giving up the word according to what he speak over in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. He's making a stand for. He's bringing a personality to what God is saying he can do. He's bringing Isaiah 55:11 into full fruition. God's word don't void. He's bringing Ephesians 1:21 into fruition. He's bringing the book of Hebrews 1:12, 1:11 into fruition, 11:1 into fruition. He's bringing these things about finding my brother, you know. But when you think about what he said over the 2 Chronicles, and you got to catch this because I know I'm moving with time, but I want you to hear this. Go back over to archives, listen to the study because it's an empowered study, and it's going to help you move where you're going. When it seems like the wiles of the devil are entrapping you, you got to go back and tell God his word. You got to quote it to him scripture and word by word because God is a God that he shall not lie, not a son of a man that he shall have to repent. He said, I've been given a commandment to bless, and I cannot reverse it. He says over 2 Chronicles 20:6, and he said, O Lord God of our Father, art thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdom of the heathens? Come on, somebody. Whatever demon, whatever principality, whatever neglect thing that's dealing with your life, God rules over all that. The word of God declares, God, I turn the kings. I turn those things in your life the way I want them to turn. Over all the heathens. In thy hands are there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Come on, somebody. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. But if you understand the scripture and what Jehoshaphat began to call out to God when it seemed like these people was coming against him across the great sea of Syria, and the word came to him, but they coming to him in battle. And when you read this story over and over again, you read it, it's such a powerful story, how God protects his own, even in the book of Exodus. How the plagues came against Egypt, the flies, all these things, the locusts. But over in the city of Goshen, over in the city of Israel, now one of God's people ever got taught by anything. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, if you can hear this word on tonight, your prayers. That's why the Bible declares that a fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. You got to get in your prayer life. And you got to know how to decree and declare things. And you got to understand that you got to call things that be not if they were. You got to know God for yourself. I don't care what they done told you or what they said is coming against you. I don't care what kind of demonstration, what kind of counseling you're dealing with in your body. Am I speaking to y'all tonight? I don't care what kind of situation you're dealing with. I don't care if it's dealing with your job, it's dealing with unemployment status, whatever it may be. You got to understand that God has got a plan. God will give you an idea that will make you a millionaire on tomorrow. if you understand the vision of God, the power of God, and you fall in line with retrospect of what he's calling you to do, and being under the rulership of your master, and being rulership to your masters, and knowing who's in authority over you. Today and time, people don't fear God anymore. They talk to the man of God as he a piece of junk anymore, just like they did the prophets back in the old days. That's the same thing the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. In the Old Testament, they talked to the prophets like there wasn't nothing, the Jezebel, Ahab spirits. They talked to them any kind of way. Wouldn't even kill the prophet, but God always made an escape route for his people. And everybody that ever came against God, people received that what they knew had coming toward them. I'm telling you, if you put it out there, you plant it, you're going to reap it. And the Bible does declare that you reap what you sow. And that's a law that's in the kingdom. You spit it out there, you're going to reap it. So you got to understand that you got to tame your tongue. That's another message we're going to be getting into this year. That I'm doing a series on the taming of your tongue. You got to know how to hold your tongue. The Bible declares that every idle word has got to come in subjection. Everything that you speak has got to come in the authority of the Spirit. You got to watch how you open your mouth and how you talk and how you say things to certain people. So if you're a man of God, a woman of God, you got to know how to pray. And you got to know how to pray in all types of prayers. But as we go back to the book of Ephesians 6 and 10, he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Look what he said. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what the wiles of the devil. Things that seem to just keep on beating you up. All the different strategies that the enemy is coming at you with. And you got to understand one thing. The devil used to be a chairperson of the covenant. Remember, he was the one who brought the worship into the kingdom until he thought he was better. And with the persuasion, he persuaded over 3/4 of the kingdom of the angels to follow him. But God kicked every one of them out of the kingdom. And as every one of the devils and every one of his imps passed him, God stripped them of their rank. And so he went and set up down here on land. So now we got a prince of this world who feeds you with stuff, cliques, clubs, games, and titles, and pulls you away from that what God has declared and called for you to be. You know, he lightens you with stuff. He puts stuff in your face and he shines in your face and says, this is what you want. And when he leaves you off there, all he do is leave you out there and just snap you away. Just tear you apart. Because he led you out and then he dropped you off the side of the cliff. And you don't seem to understand that every blessing that you get, you better pray about it. Because every gift that you receive ain't from God. The devil give gifts too. He'll make it so appealing to you that he'll snatch you and pull you out there before you know you're out of training with what the word of God has declared. Let's move on in this. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Notice that. Against rulers of darkness and worlds of spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to tell you something right quick as we prolong this very particular series. We're going to finish it out on tonight. We're going to make sure we finish it out tonight. There was a story about a tribe over in Zimbabwe, over in the Canaan Islands, over in Africa, some of the continents of Africa, and they had this tree that was over in Africa, and it was ran by warlocks, witches, witchcraft, and as they went out there, they would night, they would sacrifice the young tribal girls. And they would slay them, and they would feed homage to this tree. In other words, they would take their blood, they would smear it across this particular tree, because it was more or less of a god to them. But the men of that particular village and the surrounding areas came together and began to release the power of God. Listen to me on this. I'm trying to tell you something here, but you don't play with this stuff. They released the power of God on that tree. And it says they prayed and came together, began to pray. That tree was hit by lightning. And that lightning struck that tree and knocked that tree down. But in 3 days, the men of the warlock tribes of that witchcraft surrounding city began to summon all the witchcraft, all the powerful warlocks in that area, began to summon them back together. And they began to come together, began to pray. And in 3 days, that tree raised itself back up. They say they begin to pray against this tree again. They say most of the pastors, or 3 or 4 of the pastors in that area, came down with cancers. But it wasn't threatening cancer. One of the men of God I talked about had a cancer, a lupus-type cancer. And I'm telling you, that's witchcraft. But you got to understand who you're dealing with. You think this demonic presence is something that's unreal? Oh, it's real. Demons and devils, oh, they real. But you got to understand that when you're walking in the power of God, and the retrospect of the kingdom of God. As the word says, he said, that when you fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Look, he said, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be withstand what in the evil days. Look what it said, having done all, stand. When you understand who you are in Christ, the enemy can't touch you. When you know who you are in Christ, the devil can't come. You walk with boldness. You walk with power. You walk with authority. You walk with consolation of the kingdom, and knowing through you that everything that God has given you is in a working state. Nothing's dead. He says it in the Amplified version, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Listen to what it says. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. No, you don't contend with your brother and sister. When you're talking to a person who's dealing with certain things in their life, you're not talking to them. It's a demon that's in them. And if you're not strong enough in the world to know how to speak and talk to that demon to get them up out of him, then you'll find yourself with that demon on you. That's why you hear the word of God saying all the time, don't let everybody lay hands on you. And the Bible says, let no man lay hands on you suddenly. People want to prophesy and give words of God and speak about this thing and speak about that thing, but then again, the things in their life are all messed up. When you understand that you walk according to John 4:24, to walk in the Spirit, you wouldn't be so quick to lay hands on anybody. But it says against dismals, against dispostums, against powers, against masters, against spirituals who are in the world, rulers of the present darkness, against the spirit of forces of darkness and heavenly spiritual sphere. That means the atmosphere, the land. That's why the model prayer of the kingdom of God is so strong. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed thou be thy name, that the kingdom come. You got to announce this thing into your life. You got to decree it, knowing that when you speak a word, the word gives you a final analysis over in Ephesians 1:21. He said, above all principalities of power and dominion, not only name in this world, but everything that was to come. He put a lasso on every demonic force to come at you, but you got to do it with a fervent prayer. That's why the word of God says, pray in all types of prayer. Let's move on to the 14th verse. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Look, get your heart right and get your mouth right. The breastplate is the heart. That's the sack of your soul. Am I talking to somebody? You got to have the, you got to be girded with the truth. Meaning you got to speak things of truthfulness. You got to declare things out of your mouth containing the word of God and what he's decreed in the kingdom of God. And what he's called you to do in this season. You just can't go out there any kind of way and do anything. Am I talking to anybody? Is anybody there? Because you got to understand that when you stand and be strong of the power of the Lord, a call to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Listen to me. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of you who love the Lord and Jesus Christ. That's your security. My mother used to give us Psalms 91, one of the most powerful prophetic prayers in the Bible, one of the most powerful protective prayers in the Bible. You know, what is the main point of that area? It's why we deal with responsibility as men and women of God. Put on the armor of God that you might stand against what? The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, of this age, spiritual host. Anybody know what a host is? They entertain a wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole, not just from the whole arm of God, that you might be able to stand against the evil days, having an all just stand. Listen to me. Equipped with the whole arm of God. Therefore, stand first with your arm of God, which includes your waist girded with the truth, your breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the pommels of a shod, means standing firm, flat-footed through adversity, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Am I talking to somebody? A shield of faith above all, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and being watchful in the name of Jesus, praying with the prayers of supplication and the spirit, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for in all the saints. We got to speak on these things. We got to decree these things. We got to declare these things. We got to understand and realize in the 18th verse, praying always with all prayers, all types of prayers. Pray for the doctors. Pray for the lawyers. Pray for your enemies. Am I speaking to somebody? Pray for the ones who despitefully use you. Pray over your money. Pray over your life. Pray over your health. Pray for the president. Pray for the police department. Pray for the government. Pray for the police officers. So what they give you a ticket last week, pray for them, because they're out there protecting the city. If it wasn't any police in the city, thank God for where we have them, the red patrol and officers, we will probably be in a city of dealing with democracy to the point where everybody would be running around. You know, it wouldn't be anything going on. Everybody would be running rapid and running wild. He said, praying always with prayer and supplication in the spirit. Do it in the spirit and be watchful. With all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Am I talking to anybody? You got to believe and declare and decree by the word of God that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, are pulling down strongholds. Now, I'm going to slow down at this point, and I'm going to get into the conclusion of this particular study, because we're about to get into the ending part of this, but I want to bring the co-pastor online, and I want her to have some things she got to say concerning this particular study, because it is a powerful study. Everything that we dealt with, everything we were talking about was dealing with the area of how we all as men and women of God should honor ourselves unto God and walking in the right retrospect of the kingdom of God. Amen. So I'm going to bring co-pastor Patty on. I think she's ready to come on. She's tending to my young daughter, but we want her to come on and have a word to say concerning this particular study. Co-pastor.
Amen. I was just thinking about when you were talking about Ephesians 6, that is reminding us, is telling us, not just reminding us, but telling us of how we need to put the spiritual armor on. When we're followers of Christ, we walk differently. We walk in the spiritual, which means that we have to continually be connected to the Lord in order to get our power. Remember a while back we were talking about being plugged in, staying plugged in. I was thinking about this as one of my, I was having a conversation with a young lady this week, and she was telling me how her mother was praying for her husband. She said, well, I'm not spiritual like she is. And I think we use that term just very loosely. And she said she was praying for my husband and rebuking the devil and laying hands on him and anointing him and telling her that when he's coming at her in a negative way, that you say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And she was thinking that was so weird. And I was listening to her, and I was thinking about, you know, where are we individually as a spiritual life? You know, how mature are we in Christ? Do we think that's weird? Well, you know, when you're a follower of Christ, when you put on the spiritual armor, it just as this scripture is saying that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight on things that you cannot see. That's why we have to put on that spiritual armor. That's why we have to pray that spiritual armor onto us every day. I think about this every time that I wake up, I do that. Every time I'm behind the wheel, I do that. Because we have those things that we can't see coming against us. And that's why we're telling you and we're teaching you the Word of God. Because you need to have this in your spiritual life. Because you will start to see things as you continue to be plugged into the Lord, you'll get these. And as you're living a spiritual life, you'll start to see what you cannot see. That might seem a little strange to you right now, but you will start to get instructions from the Lord in ways that you didn't have before. that's why we continually get closer and closer in our relationship with the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Continue your relationship just as you would with a friend. To get to know that person, you have to talk to them. And as you get to know the Lord, you have to continually have that conversation. And that having that conversation is reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and in being prayer and in fasting. Amen?
Hey, amen. It's just on my heart to open up Sister Christian's line, because I just feel that the Spirit is something she has to say concerning this. And I want Sister Christian to go ahead and just comment on this after the First Lady had finished, because I just she has something to say, you know, on this study. Sister Christian, you're on the line.
It takes me back, Pastor, when I was in your church and God's church and God's house hearing the Word. And when the First Lady said, stay plugged in, I remember we were having ladies teaching and worship, and I was whining about the way my life was going. And just with loving and understanding, instead of getting fed up, just her kindness and showing her exact words was, you have to stay plugged in to the Lord. That's where we get our strength from. That's what nourishes us. That's what teaches us continually, teaches us, strengthens us in growing so we can be a strong person in God's Word to go out. And if we just pass somebody at a job or in a park with our kids or even our animals walking and somebody's having a problem or just open up a little bit, that you can be able to share with them, but share with them in a gentle, loving way that makes them say, hey, you know what, I have to learn more. Some people that don't know anything about God, but that want to say, hey, I need to learn, and I want to learn more and teach me more. And it just brought back all those memories. And it's just continually staying in God's Word no matter what. He's always teaching you. You can read something today and read the same thing maybe a week or a month later, and you'll get a different view of it because the Holy Spirit will show you a different view.
Amen. 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 God bless you, woman of God. You know, such a strong word that this woman of God has spoken and said. I mean, but, you know, when you look at the verses 18 to 20, I'm telling you, this is where the power of God moves at. He says, praying always with all prayers. Look, he puts before all types of prayers. Those who was, but look at the study, that's what the topic of the study is, praying in all types of prayers. Praying all with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit and watching. Look, thereon to perseverance and supplication to all the saints. The supplication, look, giving yourself to prayer, not just for what's going on in your life, but for others. You know, when we started from 17, it says equipping with the armor of God. You got to equip yourself with the armor of God. You know, therefore, stand fast. Do it quickly. Because the enemy, it takes a nanosecond for him to come in and tear stuff up in your life. Stand fast with the arm of God, which includes your waist girded with the truth. That's the word. The breastplate of right. Get your heart right. Your feet shod with the preparation. Be ready to defend the word through any price or any cause. That's why the word of God said you got to read the study to show yourself approved. It's a lot of stuff floating out here. If you don't know the word, some slick educated guy come in and give you all kind of pronunciations. Sometimes you got to look through all that fluff. You know, all these old big words, all this old nice, you know, increments are making it sound more than what it is. You got to look through all that stuff. In other words, what you got to do when you walk in the Word of God, you got to give it a, you got to give it a throw away the bones and eat the meat. He said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You ready to defend the gospel at any time or any moment. This is what happened to Paul when he was in prison.
Paul was in prison, yet that he was locked up, he was ready to defend the gospel. Y'all may be taking me to my death, but I'm ready to defend the gospel. Even when him and Paul and Silas was locked up, them boys prayed their way up out of that house. And they shook everything. They said an earthquake came in that region. They had earthquakes over there at a certain time of year. They said, but this earthquake was a different kind of earthquake. One that was unheard of. They'd never seen before. They said, but the shield of faith above all, listen to me, the shield of faith above all to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Don't you know people can send fiery darts from wherever? They can send fiery darts from all the way from California, all the way from Louisiana, all the way from Texas, all the way from Michigan, or wherever. People talk about you. And if you let that thing hit your heart, it'll convict you. The same thing with the helmet of salvation. If your mind ain't lined up according to Romans 12 and 1 and 2, the Bible says in Romans 12 and 2 to renew that thing. Let your mind be renewed. He said the sword of the Spirit. That's a John 4:24 right there. You got to pray in the Spirit, using the heavenly language, speaking in tongues. You got to know how to pray to the Lord. My mother used to always hum when she used to be in the kitchen cooking. They say the old saying of the people, the old folks used to say, the old women from the rock, the mourners of the church, they say when you hum, the devil don't know what you're talking about. That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and being watchful. You got to watch the enemy. He's always trying to find a way he can get a footing to slip in. Whether it comes to relationships, whether it comes to your money, whether it comes to your job, whether it comes to your doctor, you got to denounce and declare and decree some things. They say you got it. They say, I ain't here. The Bible tells me in Isaiah 53, who has believed that report? And who has the arms that report been revealed? If it didn't come from the kingdom, then I ain't got to accept it. Now, don't get me wrong. God has given men and women, God, the ability to be able to do surgical things on your body, but you got to pray to God and ask him how you want it to proceed and how to be done. And you got to believe and declare and decree that even when you go through the process, you got to believe God for the healing. Now, we got to speak about this. The Bible said use wisdom. All wisdom, get understanding. Now, you just can't sit back there with your head hanging halfway open and say, well, I don't know God will heal. God ain't going to come out and stitch your head up. He's going to seem to somebody know how to do that. Don't sit there with your brains hanging out, your guts hanging out, knowing God going to heal it. No, you go to the doctor. Use wisdom. He said, being watchful with all perseverance. Now, the perseverance is the same thing that the man said in Luke, over in Luke 11. They said the brother knocked with importunity. You pray with perseverance. Perseverance means to persevere, to press in with supplication, meaning get in your prostrate position. Lay in labor before the saints. Labor for all the women and men of God. Paul says praying for Paul. You know, that the utterance may be given to him, that he might speak boldly as he ought to speak, to make known the mysteries of the gospel. I'm telling you, you walking in the heavenly realm and the Holy Ghost begin to move in, I'm telling you, stuff will start pulling the parallel from everywhere. That's why you got to read. Don't worry about what you can't remember and what you don't remember. Once the Holy Ghost hits you, it's going to bring up out of you. That's why they say, when you pray and you begin to speak in the word of God and the Holy Ghost begin to come upon you, they say the flow of like runners and rivers of water out of your belly will flow rivers of water. That's the power of God demonstrating and using you onto that particular individual, what he's calling you to do. And when you look at the conclusion of this chapter, we talked about this earlier when Paul talked to the man in Tyshim over in that 22nd verse. But he said to this, one thing. He said, but they even all may know the affairs and how I'll do in Tyshim and beloved brethren, the faithful ministers in the Lord shall make known to you all things. Look what he's saying. He's telling them, if you pray, God will make known to you all things. You're struggling with a job. You're struggling with a situation. You're struggling with an illness. You're struggling with something. God will give you a remedy that'll bring you out of whatever it may be. I remember my sister was suffering through some things, and I ain't got to tell you whatever she was dealing with, but she was suffering through some things, and I gave her a word. I ain't going to tell you which word of my sister. It ain't none of your business, really, but just listen to the power of God move. And as I spoke to the Lord, told me to tell her to anoint 7 bottles of water, and each one of the bottles of water anointed 3 times, 3 drops in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and those 7 bottles. and drink those bottles of water for those particular days along with our regular water. Drink half of the water during the day and half of the afternoon for 7 days. And to read Isaiah 58:8. I remember giving it so clearly, such a prophetic utterance of the Spirit. God gave me the remedy to her healing. And I think 6 months, or I think maybe 3 weeks later when she went in for her ultrasound or whatever happened, the course of time she had to take, she came back and said, well, the doctor said what was there wasn't there no more. They didn't see it anymore. It was gone. It dissipated. They asked me, have I had surgery? She said, no. She said, well, whatever was there ain't there no more. Am I talking to anybody? Paul is admonishing to the brothers, even in Tishene, he's telling them that the affairs, but when you know also my known to affairs, and how I do in Tishene, a beloved brother of the faithful ministers, and the Lord shall make known to you all things who I have sent to you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might confront your heart, that he might comfort your heart in the name of Jesus. Y'all excuse me on that. That he may comfort your heart. Peace be to you, brethren, in love, with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in security and sincerity. Amen. Now think about this. Paul brought a final word to him pertaining to the word of peace. Peace be to the brethren, a beloved brother and faithful of the ministry of the Lord. Well, let them know known. Let them know how Paul is doing in the 21st verse. He tells in the 22nd verse, he has been sent to comfort the hearts. Now, let me think of something. He's comforting people's hearts, and he's in prison. He's in a desperate situation. And they tell me that the prison back then in Ephesus was so filthy and so dirty and so egregious that you just by the looks of it, the smell of it, you were this grr up in there. But through the power of God, I don't care how bad your situation is or what you're going through, God can bring you out. Am I speaking to anybody on this line? This really concludes our series on this particular chapter, on this particular study, and it was a good one. And if there's anyone who has anything to have to say concerning this study, you're more welcome to push the #1 button on your phone. It'll light you up, and I'll bring you into the studio and let you hear, or you can speak on something that may have sparked your interest or may have sparked your heart during the course of the time that this study was taking place. We came down to the end of the study for those who it was really a great study for what God gave us on today, dealing with the series in the book of Ephesians. It was so powerful, and I thank each and every one of you for staying with us during the course of this study and hearing what the Word has to say. I believe it was a blessing to most of those who were on the line and was a part of this study online. I just thank God for you. But as I said before, if there's anyone who want to speak out on this particular subject, you know, just go ahead and hit your #1 on your phone. I'll give you a few minutes to say before we go into our prayer and we begin to release you on tonight, and that you have a good night. So it's just a tap on your phone, the #1 button. As you light up, I'll see you in the studio, and I will open your mic. Amen? Okay, if there's not any, then God bless you. We appreciate you coming into the study. We appreciate you being a part of this study. But there's some things that I've been praying, and I got some words that came down from me from a few people who've been actually having some very life-threatening situations going on in their life. And I'm asking you to keep them in prayer. One man of God who's at my job, his mother is dealing with a complication of the heart, and he came and he talked to me about it, and I felt his heart as he kind of poured his tears out, you know, because that was his mother. Another incident is another young man of God who's going through some very distraught things. You know, it seems like the enemy is always trying to attack you, but I'm telling you, man and woman, God, I believe what he says in Ephesians 1:21. Now, I don't believe the enemy got any kind of power over anyone. If you believe according to what we just read through this whole entire Ephesians chapter 6 about what the power of God has said in terms of what he can do in your life and with you, God is able to do all things. The word of God decrees and declares in Jeremiah 32, so he said, ain't anything too hard. And everything that we read on tonight, dealing with this particular study, even equipping with the armor, is your basic thing. From the era we're dealing with the duties of the minister, dealing with walking in victory, standing strong in the power of God, the duties of a servant, all this stuff was good stuff for tonight. The duties of the father, the duties of the children. All this was good stuff tonight. I tell you, you missed those who just coming in line, God bless you, but you missed the real good ending of this conclusion of this study. And I just want to thank each and every one for joining us on tonight as we open up with prayer. As always, we go through our process of salvation. But first, I want to go ahead and just pray for these individuals who have these people who have been asking me on request to pray for them. And at the end of this prayer, we want to go ahead and acknowledge those who, matter of fact, before we get started, before we move any further, we want to let those who want prayer to just go ahead and acknowledge that, Pastor Lutton, pray for me in this, pray for me in that. And we'll make sure we open up the kingdom of the night, and we'll see that, we're going to see what God is going to do for you. So if there's any prayer requests before we get started, along with the other prayer requests, you can do so by letting me know by the number one button on the line, and we're going to go ahead and take them in. We want to get you the prayer request pretty quick because we got a lot of people lighting up for prayer requests. We want to just tell us what it is, and we want to have you to come in and get your prayer request. 832, what is your prayer request?
Yes, Pastor Ellis, I want to pray for my health, pray for me and my family's health, and pray for us to our living situation.
Amen. Amen, God. We're doing just that. We're going to continue to do just that. In the name of Jesus, we're going to go over to 575. We're going to open them up. We're going to ask them for their prayer requests.
Pastor Ellison, First Lady,
yes.
Prayer request that I grow stronger in the Lord as far as boldness and speaking the word and just drawing near to him.
Amen.
And for the strength
Amen.
Of my children, that they'll draw near to him as well.
Amen, amen. We're going to get a chance to talk to you a little bit more about that because I've been interested and wanting to ask you about some things, and I'll talk to you probably after the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about me and the First Lady, amen. And we thank God for her. Is there any more prayer requests at this time? Is there anybody? Any more prayer requests at this particular time before we go into prayer? You know, no one else needs prayer. Well, we just thank God for you. Those of you who are shy and setting back, we will still pray for you anyway. We're going to believe that God's going to touch your situation. I'm telling you, when the Word of God says pray all types of prayer, all kinds of prayers, you just got to believe that God is in the position of helping you, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever you're going through. But let us take this word before the throne of God through the power of the Spirit and knock on every demonic force and every unhealing situation in the lives of every individual that's on this particular line. We're going to cover everyone in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you for your power, for your grace, for your mercy, for your authority that comes from on high. Father God, we come against every glass ceiling in the name of Jesus. We lock down every porthole of every satanic force that ever come against your people, Lord. We knock down every storm of every proclivity that ever caused them to fall short of what you declared in their life. And Father God, I decree by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit, that you continue to move, Father God, like a whirlwind, move like fire in the name of Jesus, Father God, and go into the household of these individuals, Father God, begin to touch them in every area of their life, Father God. The man of God's prayed for protection of his family, Father God. Let the power of your Spirit move up and down and all around. Let it convict, Lord, and let it begin to arrest and shut down everything that's in his life to the point that you know, Father God, you created them and you made them. You know the situation they're in, Father God, before they even started into it, Father God. But your word is decreed that in a fervent heart of a fervent prayer, availeth much, Father God. Give them the wisdom, give them the knowledge to find a place for his family that may be comfortable, Father God, to live free from the very attributes of this world, Father God, that they may find a place of rest. And Father God, when they find that place of rest, Father God, the place of residency, Father God, let it be anointed, let it be powerful. Let everything they need, Father God, be right in there for the children, Father God, for him, Father God, even in the health that he's going through, seems to be, Father God, touch him, Father God, in this body. The word has decreed and declared from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And I declare that everything in his body line up according to the blood. Lord, I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. I send forth your healing angel. I send forth a Bethesda healing on this man of God's body, Father God, and on his wife and on the family as you put a hedge of protection on every one of them, Father God. I believe the word is declared that no weapon can be formed and no weapon can be formed against him shall prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. Father God, I come against every unauthoritated demon and every authoritative demon, Father God. I shut every loophole, every porthole, Lord, and I cause angelic forces of the angels around this man of God and touch him in every area of his life, Lord. I shut down every demonic trigger in the name of Jesus. I shut down every demonic language. I cleave the tongue, the roof of the head of every negative word that ever come out the mouth against him, Father God. And I decree by the power of God that the prosperity, the joy to fall upon them, Father God, and you will make a way out of no way, Father God. You will show them, Father God, in the midst of what they are, Father God, that it's not unto them what they need to be, Father God. You got a better place for them, Father God. Let them walk by faith and walk by the strength of the power of the kingdom of God, and know through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible, Father God. Lord, we're calling on you this afternoon to free the very bonds, to snap the pins, lay the axe to every root in the name of Jesus, Father God, and free this family, Father God. They may receive all that you have in store for them, Father God. Your word is decreed and declared that you got an inheritance for them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, I'm asking you to bestow upon them, Father God. Let the word go forth on them, Father God. Even on tomorrow, Father God, they'll get a word that proclaims that they got to move out where they are, that they got a better place in store for them, Father God. They may be free from the very area in which they're in, Father God, by the clouding of the very demonic things that take place around that area, Father God. I loose the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I send forth your angelic forces, Father God, that break down every demonic force, every strong wall. Lord, I ask you to protect the door, Lord. Wipe it with the blood, Father God, that it may be protected from the enemy, Father God. Protect the children, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, I decree the word. I declare it. I speak it. I call it to come forth right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. And your word is decreed on this woman of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask and let you give to them liberally, Father God. Give this woman of God the very principles and the order of the third heaven, Father God. Give her the power and the spirit to understand and know that to you, Father God, there's nothing too hard for you to do. Not in the midst of even remembering that which you have in store for God. Let her walk upright. And as she walk upright, Father God, let her be able to stick and cleave the word of God in her mind. That she would bring scripture to mark ball out of her heart. That when she speak a word of God, it will come to her, Lord, like dew, Father God. It will fall upon her, Father God, in every retrospect that she needs, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that you already blessed the woman, God. Knowing to you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible, Father God. We loose the spirit right now in the name of Jesus, trying to bind her for being unfree to what you have called her to be, Father God. We ask you to touch her with the wisdom and knowledge and understand and know that you're God and beside you there is no other. We ask you to put your loving arms around her, Father God, to protect her from the hands of the enemy, Father God. Your word is declared according to Romans 1 and 2, Father God, 12 and 2, Father God, that you said her mind be renewed according to the power and the principles of the Spirit. Father God, I'm asking you, Father God, give her John 4:24, Father God, that the Spirit would speak to her, Father God, with the wisdom and knowledge and direction, Father God. Touch every one of her sons. Touch her daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm asking you to hedge them, Father God, in every area of their life, that your word will rule, that it will reign, they will continue to subdue, subject, and set down every form of every negativity in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you're moving, Father God, you're equalizing in her life above the playing field, that you give her the ability to move forward, to understand and know that you're God, and beside you there's no other. Father God, I thank you for this time and this moment to pray for your people, Father God, and that I release the Spirit on everyone on this line. Father God, I'm asking you to touch them in every area of their life, Father God. Move by your grace, move by your mercy, move by your authority, Father God, that even as the word they receive on tonight be a word that will engraft them in an area in their life that they have never been before. Father God, give them a third heaven vision. Give them the very principles of the word, Father God, that they may know and understand that you have something greater for them in their life, Father God. I'm asking you, Father God, for those who had an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And I believe right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you have done just that through this prophetic word that comes through this book of Ephesians, Father God, that even in the midst of all the things that go on all around us, Father God, we should continue to pray, Lord, despite of what we see with our own eyes. That we don't look at the parallel, Father God, but we look at the vertical, Father God. We know, Father God, that we set down every senses that we have, Father God. We turn it over to you, and we will receive it and grab the word through the kingdom of God to know that to you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible, Father God. Touch Harvest New Life Church in the new projects you have coming forth, Father God. And every tongue that speak out against this ministry, Father God, let it be in love, Father God, that they come to understand that they are falling under the direction of the power of the Spirit as well. Father God, touch my mother, touch my father, touch him in his lays with the Lord, Father God, in his resting place, Lord. Long time have I seen my father, Father God, and didn't spend much time, but he's always on my mind, Father God, as he lays with you, Father, in his resting place, Father God. But I have my mother here, Father God, and I'm asking you to touch her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lay your hands upon her, Father God, every part of her body, Lord, let it be healed, let it be delivered from every demonic force, Lord, every ailment, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Let her live in the name of Jesus, Father God, that she will have strength, Father God, to move accordingly to what you are designed and declared her to be, Father God. Look over my young sister, Father God, who's a caretaker of this woman of God, this magnificent woman of God, this caretaker, Father God, who's been studying, Lord God, and been there fervently with this woman of God, taking care of her day in and day out. Give her strength, Father God, even through the reports she may be receiving, Father God. I'm asking you to change it up, switch it around in the name of Jesus, Father God, and touch the woman of God in this house, this woman of God, this first lady, co-pastor Patty Ellis. Strengthen this woman of God as she continues to stay firm with me in the word of God. Even my little daughter, Father God, every one of the children, Father God, put your holy hands around them, Father God, and let your word be decreed and declared upon their life. They know that no weapon formed against either one of us in this whole entire land, out of the United States, will prosper, that we will go forth with vengeance, we will pray in prayers and supplication in the spirit, to know that to you, Father God, that everything, all things are possible to him and being believers, Father God, that every supplement plan that the enemy tried to come against us with, Father God, we denounce it, we send it back to hell, wrapped in the blood chains of Jesus, Father God, that we may know and understand that you are on the throne, you're the omnipotent one, you're the omnipresent one, Father God, as you give us the revelation of the speaking in tongues, that we would get more vision and more focus in the area you want us to move in, Father God, give us pinpoint accuracy, Lord, in the spirit, Father God, and give us laser beam faith, that we may know and understand that everything that you're doing in our life is far more that we can ever see or even imagine, Father God. Your word is decreed and declared that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Father God, you said it even entered into the heart of any man the things you have in store for your people, Father God. I'm asking you to let the inheritance fall upon every one of these men and women of God, including upon Harvest New Life Church, that we may understand that the things you have for us to do in this house will be what the point to help them men of God move forward in the spirit to be all that you want them to be. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this prayer. I thank you, Father God, for every one of the listeners on this line. I declare the word of God by the power of the Spirit that we are protected and we're under the hedge of Psalms 91, Father God, that we rule and reign, that even when it falls to the left and falls to the right, we'll yet stand still, knowing that you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this time with you, Father God, for this moment with you, Father God, to share the moment that you have always given us, Father God, to come into your presence, Lord, and proclaim your word. Father God, I thank you, Father God, even as I begin to open up the word of salvation for those who want to be saved, Father God, let the word that spindle off my mouth be a word of the Spirit, Father God, that be a word that not come from myself but through you, Father God. Even as I interpret the word and speak it out, Father God, let this word rain upon every one of them, Lord, that they all got the reason and have the title to be saved and sanctified and delivered from the power of the enemy, Father God, into your arms, Father God, that they may be delivered from the very depths of the enemy, the very hell things that's going on in life, the very calamity that's going on in life, Father God, that they may be delivered into your arms, they be saved and sanctified as been believers, and know that to you, Father God, that their whole life has got prosperity, got joy, it's got a way for them to come and do all that you declared them to be, Father God. These things I'm asking not of myself, but of the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call it been done. I put it into the third heavens to go forth. I know it will not come back void, but it will accomplish all that and therein. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. This is our prayer of salvation for those who have received the Lord, and still this is a prayer for you need to get this down and to practice this, because you need to study to the point when you go in your Walmart, in your stores, and people want to be saved on the spot, you need to know how to deliver this to them. And if you need a copy of it, send me your address, and I'll send you a copy of it. If you need a you carry it in your purse, carry it in your pocket, you ask that person, have you been saved? Do you want to be saved? And you can save them right there on the spot, because it's the confession of their mouth. You have to go through a whole bunch of ritualistic stuff with them. You can tell them, do you want to be saved? But let me take you through the model prayer. I've been saved. Deliver them right there on the spot and pray a prayer of protection around them. They will receive all that God has for them. He said, God loves you and sin separates you from God. Jesus died for our sins. And he says you can receive Jesus now because God loves you. It says, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, listen to me. I repent of my sins and I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you have died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me. It sounds so simple, but yet so powerful. You released a lot of things when you come into the kingdom of God. Then when you get out of your way and you get in the way of God, not get in the way of God, but get in his way that he wants you to go, and then walk his path. The Bible said, wide is the path and narrow is the gate. You know, if you walk there, get in the narrow part where Christ wants you to be. and begin to look at things from a whole different perspective. This year is almost over. It's phenomenal the way time is moving. But I'm not going to delay the time. This woman of God, Co-Pastor Patty, is going to give her final words, and we thank each and every one of you for coming on. I'm going to leave you the word after this woman of God speaks out, and I'm going to hear what she has to say concerning this word on tonight, and she's going to let off with her final comments. Co-Pastor Patty, are you there?
Amen. Just want to continue to encourage you all. We want to both encourage you all and encourage each other. I always say that, and I stress it every time that we come together, because it's a body of Christ. We help one another. We help to give knowledge to those people who don't know. So I encourage you to continue to stay on the line. Get your friends, get your family to listen, because this is a spiritual walk for each and every one of us. And it takes so much to come together and to learn. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer, and stay plugged in. Amen.
Amen, woman of God. As always, I'll leave you guys with something. Some of y'all go off the line fast. You can listen to it. You don't have to. It's a part of the title of the show. But these words that this man speaks about, sometimes you need, it's about how you look at Christ. I mean, it talks about how you feel, how he feels about Christ. And it's a very powerful song. Some of you can go back to the archives. I know you, like me, some of y'all got to get up early in the morning, and I do as well. But I'm going to leave you guys with this song. This is a very strong song for those who stay on the listen. For those who don't, then God bless you. But I'm Pastor Charles Ellis signing off, letting you know, hey, look, we love you guys, and we'll be back with you again next week on our video show. For those of you who want to go on to YouTube and look at the show, you can do just that. You can go to this Pastor Charles Ellis-HNLC, and you'll see us in some of our video studies on YouTube. You can catch some of those on YouTube, some of our live recordings before we actually get the streaming going permanently, and you'll be able to see us actually online. But all the story, all the actual videos are going on YouTube as of right now, and we're getting ready to set our studio up, and it's going to be exciting. I think God is doing some good stuff. I thank God for you guys. Thank you. I'll see you guys on the next one.